Good morning. This is Attitude Adjustment on EAA Radio. I'm Paul Predecker.
Hello again, Paul. Good to be with you again on the last day of our series this year.
Yep, it's been a good week. We've had great guests, and we're about to start with another one. So our first guest this morning is Krista Simmons. Krista, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
We're delighted that you're here. And we've been supported so well by your organization, the Pilot Mental Health Campaign, this week with some wonderful guests and a lot of good information. And you would like to discuss with us something on the topic of veterans. Is that correct?
Yes. Today I'm here to discuss military, aviation, mental health, and transitioning to being a veteran and seeking your career outside of civilian aviation.
So what do you want people to know? You know, I understand you have people in the military who are now going to transition into some level of commercial aviation, and there's a process that needed to go through, and they need to be aware of some things. Is that correct?
Yeah. So if you know that you're going to transition out of the military, if you're in the military now and you know that you want to transition to civilian aviation, whether that's cargo, airlines, starting to become informed now is really important, and you can never do that too soon. And so I'm here to really advocate for people to go to the FAA website, read the AME guide, get informed about any kind of diagnosis that they may have, and what the process is. I'd also, you know, print out all your documents now. It's not just about diagnosis. It's about the documentation around the diagnosis. And you can start shopping for an AME. 6 months to a year is what they really recommend, but you can start doing it like 2 years out, even if it costs a little bit more money or if you have to drive a little further. You have a choice of provider with AME. As long as it's not a HIMSS AME that you're required to have, you can choose your provider and choose a good fit and somebody that's used to working with military and veterans that are seeking to explore civilian aviation. Also, you can start talking to your flight doc, right? Like you can start having those conversations with your flight doc, build that relationship, tell them your goals. And so that way they can start getting you ready for that transition.
So this sounds like a process, but it sounds like, you know, the steps are well known. Can you kind of lay out your recommendations for a timeline? I heard you say something about 6 months, maybe start looking, but when somebody knows they're going to be exiting the military, what guidelines do you give them for things to do at which milestone and kind of a time frame so that there's not a lot of lost time once they make the transition?
So I would just start becoming informed, right? Like go to the FAA website, read all of the documents that they have there. But I would also start figuring out what your resources are. So with the Pilot Mental Health Campaign, we have a Veterans Affairs Committee. And it's our committee is very unique in the way that we've created it as almost like a support network. And so you can call in once a month. Our director, Sarah Diaz, she listens to active duty, military, guard, doesn't matter, veterans, even veterans that are pilots and seeking VA care. And we start to listen to stories and some of the barriers to care and some of the limitations that pilots are having. And then we sometimes give out resources. Sometimes we're just a support system. But then also it helps us navigate for change, right? If we see a pattern of behavior that the military is experiencing when they're transitioning.
If somebody's going to have some roadblocks as they go through this, what would some of those be?
Honestly, I would say one that I see is that you know, service members don't even know what's in their record. Sometimes, you know, when you go to the doc, like they'll put in like a working diagnosis. So it may be like, hey, you're having symptoms of A or B, but maybe you don't meet the full criteria, but they'll put in documentation in your file. And so printing that out and also saving it electronically and having all those documents ready and then getting ahead of stuff, right? So making sure you have the most up-to-date prognosis, diagnosis, and current treatment plan in there. So then your AMEs, when you go and discuss all these things after you get out, the AMEs can look at it and work with you on it to make sure that, like, let's say you do have a military flight waiver, that doesn't automatically transition into getting your FAA certificate, right? So,
sure.
Or a special issuance. So, just kind of getting ahead of it. And these systems do talk to each other, right? So the VA and the FAA, they talk to each other, and they can see the diagnosis, but the processes are very different, and the reasons why the VA is looking at your medical conditions and how the FAA is looking at your medical conditions are two different, you know, entities. So just really getting informed about that process. And you know, and being honest through it and making sure,
of course,
that your documentation's accurate.
Sure.
We're talking with Krista Simmons, who's a psychotherapist, adjunct professor, and also the new events director for the Pilot Mental Health Campaign. Krista, there's an interesting line in your bio that says that you spent some time embedded with Special Operations Flying Unit. That sounds like an interesting role. Talk about that for a little bit.
Yeah. So that's how I got into aviation mental health, is I worked inside of an operational flying unit. And they really took me in. They treated me like one of their own. And I got to build relationships with pilots and navigators and the flying crew firsthand to see just how special that community is, but how much there's such a need for psychoeducation, for just mental wellness, right? And to be honest, working in that community, the military does it right? Like seeking help, I felt like it was pretty easy for those guys because they could come in, we had an open door policy, they could ask questions before they sought care. And they can ask questions, right? Like, hey, like, I'm asking for a friend. Maybe that was the case, right? but then they could build that trust, and then they were more willing to seek help. And so a lot of it was just, like, preventative, right? It wasn't even that there was a diagnosis needed or that there was a severe impairing problem. And then also I could work with their flight docs, right? So if somebody did need mental health care, I had a very great working relationship with the embedded flight doc. And so having those conversations going and, you know, if there is a waiver that needs to be put in, you know, having all your professionals right there, you know, working to make the mission work, it was such a great experience.
Krista, it sounds like you have what you described almost was like a built-in peer support network, just not even planned. It just happened that way. Is that right?
Yeah. So can you tell me what you mean by that? Like,
sure. We all need mentors. We all need help. We like to share our stories with people who are doing the same thing and, you know, get feedback on what to do and how we're doing. So it sounds like it's an ideal way, you know, for you to do what you're doing, because you know you were pretty quickly accepted.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of what I'm doing. I'm no longer in that role, but that's what I'm doing with PMHC. So the Veterans Committee, like, anyone can join, and it is absolutely that support system. Yeah, thanks for asking.
Yeah, of course. So What's next for the Pilot Mental Health Campaign? And this effort is going to continue, but there's some other things that you're waiting on legislatively. We've heard from some of your colleagues that things seem to be moving along. But for the veterans' help, it sounds like things are on target and you have a plan.
I think that's a great question. I think that this is a slow burn, right? So we're just finding out what the barriers are. Yeah. And figuring out how we educate, how we advocate, and then how do we come together as a community on ways forward.
I was looking at my partner there. I thought he was giving me a signal.
Oh, I'm still trying to debug some audio problems that plagued us bit earlier, but I think okay. We're past that now, actually.
Okay, that's good. Well, I can tell you that each show that we've had, your colleagues with the Pilot Mental Health Campaign have been so articulate and you know, spreading the information. And we met with them last year and tried to get an update on how things were going. And, you know, it sounded like there was progress. And here we are a year later. It sounds like there's some success. And you say it's a slow burning, but at least it's moving in the right direction, because it's such an important thing. This idea of, you know, not being able to, you know, talk about, you know, what you need, and people being afraid of their careers. I mean, that really needs to stop. So we're pleased with everything you're doing for us.
Yeah, thanks. And thanks for having me today.
Yeah, it's no problem.
So, Krista, one of the things that I'll just ask about and touch on real quick here is that your job in the PMHC is events director. So what's an example of an event that you might be directing?
Well, I'm really excited. Here in a couple months, we're going to go to RTAG. And so when we're talking about resources for the military and for veterans, it started as like a rotary resource, right? But now it's like rotary and fixed wing, active duty and veterans. And it's a community, it's a huge hiring event. And I went last year, and it was pretty special to see, you know, these thousands of pilots in one room. And a lot of them are military aviators, right? The most calm, cool, collected people. And there were so many like anxious pilots in that room, just so excited for what's next in their career, right? Like life after military. And then they also had a lot of great workshops that were really informative. And so you'll see PMHC at RTAG this year, and we're working to collaborate with them and help be a resource.
We've been speaking with Krista Simmons, Pilot Mental Health Campaign. This is EAA Radio.